हरे कृष्णा
हरे कृष्णा
हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। So wishing all present a very Krishna conscious, spiritually prosperous Happy New Year. Please kindly do accept our humble obeisances to one and for some our respectful blessings. So welcome to today's discussion of Granthraj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 5, Text 16 on the subject of cosmic manifestation and it's entitled The Cause of All the Causes. Here Srila Prabhupada purports the main two methods of meditation: Ashtanga Yoga, practice in concentration the mind, concentrating the mind, releasing oneself from all engagement by regulatory processes of meditation. Right? Sitting postures, blocking the movement of internal circulation of air, etc. Which is quite difficult for most of us. Sitting posture already got problem. How to regulate the air? While singing, I was panting. Right? Sankhya Yoga, which distinguishes the truth from ephemerals. Ephemerals means that which lasts only a short time. So, Sankhya Yoga, you can actually distinguish the permanent and the temporary. Like this mirror, material life. Everything that we see here is mirrored. Okay, the happiness, the so-called love, it is not prema but karma. So likewise, everything in the material world is just mirrored. I remember Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj, he jokingly said this statement, which was connected to prema. And he said, a boy and a girl who has never met for 20 over years, and after they met, they will say, I cannot live without you. So what happened to the 20 years? How did they live? So this is not prema. So ultimately, coming back to the subject, both the systems lead to realize only the impersonal Brahman. So if you go through all the systems we just mentioned here, Ashtanga Yoga and in Sankhya Yoga, the realization platform is only impersonal Brahman. Impersonal Brahman is only part of the personality of Godhead, which means to say we will not understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a whole. And those who are satisfied by simply understanding the sunshine, its universal perversiveness, and the glaring effulgence of its impersonal nature may be compared to those who realize only the Brahman feature of the Absolute Truth. So, if you are satisfied with just a little bit of spirituality and not understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then that realization is actually Brahman realization of the Absolute Truth. With regards to the proper understanding of the Lord, for example, we gave an analogical story. Because I work in the train, I always talk about the train. So there were three brothers who actually live in a village, right? They had never gone to the city before in their entire life, right? So they had no understanding of what a train looks like. So what they did, one day they went to the city to see for themselves what a train looks like. Of course here it's very high tech, and here you have seen different versions of the train, and yet more, many more to come. But they totally did not have a train. They would have seen a buffalo, a cow, you know, maybe some fairy tales, that's about all it. So they waited at the track side. Not to jump, huh? They waited for a train. So they heard the sound of the whistle. The train was whistling as it was approaching. But they couldn't see the train yet. So the first man, he turned to one of the persons standing at the platform and he said, is that a train? So the man answered, yes. Of course, the train whistle, you know. So he said, yes. So the man thought, all right, I've realized that this must be the train. So he went back to the village. The first man, he just walked off. Right? Hearing this, one of the brothers returned to the village and instead of keeping quiet, he went to everyone in the village and said, that the train is actually the sound of a whistle. That is what the train is all about. So the villagers thought, oh, okay, he has realized something, and that's it. The other two brothers, not being convinced with the answer, they waited, and soon they saw the headlight of the train in a distance. Right? In India there's one light, in Singapore there's two lights. So they saw the headlights. So immediately the same man was still standing there, he's also waiting for the train, and one of the brothers turned to him and he said, is that light the train? Of course the man said yes, because that's part of the train. That's the man's understanding. Then he said yes. And hearing this, the other brother was so satisfied and he walked away and he went back to the village and he said, actually the train is just not the sound but a bright light as well. So now they have two realizations. Of course, after waiting for some more time, right, the third brother actually saw the train pull into the station. And then he was surprised at what he saw. There were many doors and compartments, and so many people were getting in and out. And of course, there were so many food vendors and ticket collectors, old men, young children. There was so much of variety. After seeing all this, he was very satisfied, and then he went back to his village to inform everyone what a train actually was. So this is how the realization is, the process of realization. So don't call the train man to give us the class. So this is exactly how it is. So it wasn't just an impersonal sound. It was not the localized light. It was a complete variety. So thus the Supreme Person possesses three unique features. What is that? One is impersonal, the other one is all pervading, and one localized within the hearts of all living entities. And one, as the supreme individual residing in his spiritual abode. So this is, to understand the absolute truth, one must comprehend all these three features simultaneously. Then we can catch the train back home, back to Godhead. See? So, we have to go step by step. So in this sense, these two realizations don't bring us to the platform of understanding the absolute truth. So his divine grace, he explains in the purport of Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, text 47, he says the culmination of all kinds of yoga practice lies in bhakti yoga. So you can practice all the 8 different types of yoga. And all that yoga, they are actually runs on a ladder. So we are actually climbing one after another. The final run, and once you finish the final run, what awaits you right on the top is bhakti yoga. So all other yogas are means to come to the point of bhakti and in bhakti yoga. And yoga to be actually, what yoga actually means is bhakti yoga. The other, whatever yoga, now they have true yoga, and then they have, what else? Some aerobic yoga and so on and so forth. Now if you practice all these things, you might get your physique well and good, tone, but you will not get any realization. I went to one area, it's a big place in Orchard Road. Let me see. It's somewhere in Paragon or somewhere, I can't remember, it's somewhere nearby Orchard. So actually I received a card and then I just went there and said, true yoga, what do they do? So I went there and I saw this huge room with beautiful big glass and everybody was seated on a mat and they were all twisting their bodies left and right. So this was true yoga. You could have done that at home. No need to go watch the door and pay so much money. But the fact is that they are more interested in the body than the soul. So that is their realization. So from the beginning of karma yoga to the end of bhakti yoga, it's a very long way to self-realization. It's a very long way. Karma yoga without sruti result is the beginning of this path. And when karma yoga increases in knowledge, and renunciation, the stage is called Jnana Yoga. When Jnana Yoga increases in meditation on the super soul by different physical processes and the mind is on him, it is called Ashtanga Yoga. And when one surpasses the Ashtanga Yoga and comes to the point of Supreme Personality of God, Krishna, it is called Bhakti Yoga. The culmination. Actually, Bhakti Yoga is the ultimate goal, and to realize Bhakti Yoga immediately, one has to understand all these other yogas. The yogi is progressive, if thereof, or therefore, on the true path of eternal good fortune. That means to say, if a yogi is practicing, if he realizes and makes progress, and then that means to say he is on the correct path. But if you are going to practice something and you are going to be stagnant, and that is a sum and total, then that is not true. And he has missed the entire point. So one who sticks to a particular point and does not make further progress is called by that particular name. So if you are practicing Karma Yoga, then you become Karma Yogi. And that's it, period, full stop. And they will say, work with God. That's it, finish. So, Jnana Yogi, again, one other designation, or Jnana Yogi, Raja Yogi, and then of course they have Raja Yoga also, I heard, Hatha Yogi. So, like that, etc., etc., so many different designations, but that person does not make any spiritual progress whatsoever. So, if one is fortunate enough to come to the point of Bhakti Yoga, it is to be understood that he has surpassed all other yogas. Therefore, to become Krishna conscious is the highest stage of yoga, just as we speak of the Himalayas. Why do people go to Himalayas? You know, a lot of mountain trekking people and all that, they go to Himalayas. But what do they do there? Do they stay at the bottom? Do they stay at the middle? No, they go all the way up to the Everest, Mount Everest, right? And then they will put their flag there and say, okay, I was here. Then after a few years later, they will die. But Everest will still be there. So what did they achieve? I don't know. So this is their realization. So the thing is that for spiritual life, we have to also go to the Himalayas and then start climbing the spiritual life all the way to Everest. And that is called the culmination. And we will come to the point of Bhakti Yoga. So climbing the Himalayas is for the purpose of reaching Everest. So don't ever rest if you don't come to the point of Bhakti Yoga. Simple. It's easy as that. Right? So whatever we have in our mind, whatever words that comes into our mind, should be used in the service of the Lord. That's why we say, don't ever rest like that. So then again, there are a lot of jivas who are misleaders or misguided. What do? They become self-styled yogis. But then end up, what they become? They become yogi bears. Why? Because they grow hair all over and they will sleep in a solitude in a cave. Alright? So we have to be careful not to follow these special bears. Otherwise, it is to be cheated, to cheat and to be cheated. This is what happens. This is another defect of human beings. So, it is by great fortune, Srila Prabhupada says, that one comes to the point of Krishna consciousness on the path of Bhakti Yoga to become well situated according to the Vedic direction. All of us, including us, we were seated in one temple one day, praying to the best of our ability, to the best of our maturity, and so on and so forth. But according to karma, according to our sincerity, and also by the mercy of the pure devotee, we come in contact with devotees of Krishna. And then we come into contact with Bhagavatam, Granth Raj. We come into contact with Bhagavad Gita. We come into contact with so many different aspects of Krishna consciousness. So that is progress. And that, we can call it great fortune. It's not just like that. So how many of us are on Sunday off? How many of us are here? Not many, right? So we can understand from there. So it is not by choice that you come to Krishna consciousness. It is by the mercy, causeless mercy of the devotee and the Supreme Lord. if you initiated or coming to the point of initiation, then you'll understand that by the mercy of the Lord you get the Guru, and by the mercy of Guru you get Krishna. So it's a foolproof thing. Understand? So it's really nice. So in that sense, the ideal yogi concentrates his attention on Krishna, who is called Shyama Sundar, who is as beautifully colored as a cloud, whose lotus-like face is as effulgent as the sun, whose dress is brilliant with jewels, and whose body is flower-garlanded, illuminating all sights in its gorgeous luster, which is called the Brahmajyoti. He incarnates in different forms, such as Rama, Narasimha, Varaha, and Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he descends like a human being, as the son of Mother Yashoda, and he is known as Krishna, Govinda, and Vasudeva. He is the perfect child, the perfect husband, the perfect friend, and the perfect master. And he is full of with all opulences and transcendental qualities. If one remains fully consciousness of these features of the Lord, then he is called the highest yogi. It's as easy as that. All you have to do is go in front of Krishna and just simply take all your senses and put it at his lotus feet. That's all. And immediately, you don't have to go to the bed, you don't have to go to the cave, you don't have to do all this sitting, twisting, turning. You know, if you go to Kumbh Mela, 12 years once, if you go to Allahabad, it's amazing. There will be one yogi sitting, meditating, with a lot of cow dung set on his head, which is set on fire, on a summer, surrounded by so many cow dung which are all set on fire. And he'll be meditating. I don't know. I don't want to be offensive, but I don't know. If I am him, I'll be thinking, when can I get out of this situation? That is my meditation. You know, there is one who will actually dig a hole and stand upside down with his head inside the sand. Only legs can be seen. So what can be realized? If you ask me, I'll realize there's so many things in the sand which are moving about me, and it's very scary. So there will be our realization. So like that, there are so many feats, so many different things people do just to get self-realized. But they will get their results. That results will be temporary. They will get some yoga siddhi. They might be able to take something from Prabhu city. Maybe they will be able to get the garland from the flower shop without the garland guy knowing it and bringing it over here. They don't have to use credit card or cash payment. They can do that. It's possible. They can create some ashes, some deities, some maybe cure somebody. But can they cure death? They cannot. The real disease is death. Old age is symptom. Disease is symptom. The actual disease is death. Can it be cured? It cannot be cured. So all these so-called feats and all these things is of no use. It's a waste of time. Shramam eva kevalam, useless endeavor. So what we should do? We should simply concentrate on the Lord. So I want to give you an exercise. You know, when you go to school, teacher will always say, okay, do this exercise now, right? So we will do this exercise. Just close your eyes for a few seconds, and then in your own mind try to visualize these words of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Ami Yamuna Pulini Kadamba Khanane Keherino Sati Aja Amar Syama Vamsidari Mani Manchapuri Lila Kore Rasaraja. Oh Sakhi, my dear girlfriend, what have I seen today? In a Karanda grove, on the banks of Yamuna, a beautiful blackish boy, holding a long flute named Vamsi, is seated upon a throne of jewels, performing his pastime as the king of all transcendental mellows. Srila Thakur Bhaktivinoda in Kalyana Kalpataru. Now you just imagine, do we need to twist our body? How happy and how immediately, transcendentally and spiritually happy can the living entity become just by visualizing this blackish, naughty boy? As easy as that. You don't have to go through all these different rounds of yoga and so on and so forth. So, And also, do we need to meditate on the unborn and the unexplained and so on, which the, you know, all the different philosophers talk about? No, not necessary. This is the real sublime association of the personality of Godhead, as Prabhupada mentions in his purport. Right? The sublime association that is superior to the sublime association of the personality of Godhead. This is the association that we require, nothing else. So, nothing else actually matters. Now, how can we achieve this stage? How? This stage of highest perfection in yoga can be attained by only bhakti yoga. And in Svetapara Upanishad 6:38, it is stated, Yasya devi thara bhaktir yadha devi thatha guru tasyate katithahi arthaha prakasante mahatmanaha. Only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. So what we have to do, have firm faith in Guru and Krishna. See, I'll give you a practical example. One day we went in front of Sri Radha Madan Mohan and we actually had to do an offering. And actually, on that particular day, we were given this seva of cooking. So we served. Actually, we cooked and we actually served. And while we were serving, the realization was in the mind that of what status are we, that we have actually concocted something called recipe and then we actually put it in front of the Lord with great audacity, without shame, and then we are actually even ringing the bell and saying the mantras and asking Him to even actually partake whatever that we need. Now what is our priority and what is our qualification? We are totally disqualified. We are not even the least. We are actually out of the list. So this was our realization. And as we came out of the altar, then we realized that the Lord, you know, somehow or other He will be merciful. And then again, we ran back to the altar to take out the offering. And then after ringing the bell, the mind again started talking. And the mind said, today also He didn't touch. It's just like that. Is it not? It's a fact. So He was still there. And as we were coming out, then the mind started preaching again. And the mind said, the Lord, He can do different things with His different organs. So just by seeing, He can actually partake. So I was actually pacifying myself for whatever I cooked, because the cooking was not so good, definitely. So one has to come to the understanding that whatever comes through is by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, not by our qualification. We have nothing. To understand the spiritual master is inconceivable. It's inconceivable. If anyone says, I understand my spiritual master, then that disciple must be number one fool. It's not possible to understand a spiritual master. It's impossible. So, how can we understand the Supreme Lord then? Is it possible? It's not possible. So, we have to simply, earnestly, sincerely, with all humility at our command, we have to pray. And maybe one, two droplets of the droplets of the droplets of the droplets of bhakti might come. So, bhakti means devotional service to the Lord, which is free from desire for material profit, either in this life or in the next. Devoid of such inclinations, one should fully absorb the mind in the Supreme. This is Gopal Tapani, Upanishad 1.15. So these are some of the means of performance of bhakti yoga or Krishna consciousness, the highest perfectional stage of yoga. Therefore, the conclusion, as Srila Prabhupada says, is that Narayana or the personality of Godhead is the ultimate destination of all kinds of yoga systems as well as all kinds of liberation. Sometimes the material mind is so lame that sometimes when you are caught in a material situation, you will say, let me God out, just Krishna, please help me get out of this situation. And then I will feel so happy. And then when you are out of that situation, that nimitta matram, that minute, minute time, space of happiness is there, that minute release is there. Ha, Krishna, thank you so much. And before you know it, before you turn your head, Maya will give another thing. And then you find yourself floating again in another different situation altogether. This is the material mind. This is how it is. So, it should be actually not for material gain. Material profit also means all these things. Any kind of thought that is tagged together with us, then it is not devotional service. If it is tagged together with Krishna, then it is really devotional service. You know, sometimes when prasadam is served, I don't take beetroot, I don't like it. Or I don't take snake god, I don't like it. But Prabhu, this is prasadam. I know. So realize, very realization. Krishna is taking, but you cannot take. So this is realization. So what does that mean? That means there is some sort of desire in the heart. I don't like and I like. No, what Krishna likes, you must like. What Krishna doesn't like, you must not like. That is Krishna consciousness. No tailoring. No tailored devotion. You cannot put the weighing machine on a balance. This much material and this much spiritual, but okay. No, it doesn't work like that. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, in Granth Raj, there are 10 important subject matters are explained. So namely, Sarga, the elemental creation. Visarga, the secondary creation. And then Sanam, the planetary systems. Poshanam, the protection by the Lord. And Uthaya, the creative impetus. Manvantara, the period of Manu. Isha, Anukada, the science of God. Nirodha, dissolution. Mukti, liberation. And Ashraya, the supreme shelter. Of the 10, the last one, Ashraya, known as the supreme shelter, is referred to in this verse, the absolute, the last purport of Prabhupada. So, if you recall reading Srimad Bhagavatam in the beginning of Granth Raj with the Vedanta statement, Janmadi Asya Yataha, to bring to our attention to the supreme source and the shelter of all existence, that is Ashraya Tattva. In all existence, there are actually only two divisions. In all existence, entirely, there's only two divisions. The dependent, Paratantra, and the independent, Swatantra. In our case, the dependent, the husband, and the independent, the wife. Don't laugh. If you go home, you won't get the child. So, coming back. The independent, Swaraj, all refers only to that of the Supreme Lord, invoked in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. By the words, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Just now we chanted, right? Before we started off. So, Srila Vyasadeva begins by first offering his obeisances to Bhagavan Sri Krishna, Vasudeva, and then identifies him as the absolute truth and independent shelter of everything. Janmar yasya yatha swarat satyam param dhimahi. The transcendental supreme lord Sri Krishna is that tenth subject of Srimad Bhagavatam. And in order to properly describe him, Srila Vyasa Muni has explained the 9 subject matters. Studied together, these 10 subject matters fully establish the supreme personality of Godhead, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, as the transcendental absolute truth. The Vedanta Sutras begin by instructing us to inquire into the nature of the absolute truth. And what is that? Atato Brahma Jignasa. The study of the Bhagavatam is the perfect companionship, because it is a natural commentary for Vedanta Sutras. So, both the Vedanta Sutras and the Srimad Bhagavatam begin from the point of understanding the ultimate source of everything. And Sri Vyasamuni is the author of both the texts, which begins with the same verse. If you go to Vedanta Sutra and if you come to Srimad Bhagavatam, the first verse is Janmari Asya Yataha, right? From whom everything emanates. Finish. If you take even basics, for example, some of us are South Indians, right? You know what is Thirukkural. And there, what does Valur say? Ahara Mudala Yeritillam Adi Bhagavan. finished. They are realized. They know everything begins from the Lord. That's what we are. The problem here is we are reading, but we are bypassing. In between the lines, we are not. We are just reading, 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 and going on without realizing where everything comes from. So, the beauty of it is that in Srimad Bhagavatam yesterday he explains and elaborates on the very important philosophical subject in great detail. But in Vedanta Sutra it is not there. If you read, I meditate upon Lord Sri Krishna because he is the absolute truth, the primeval cause of all causes of creation, sustenance and destruction of the manifested universes. He is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations and is independent because there is no other cause beyond him. It is he only who first imparted the Vedic knowledge onto the heart of Brahmaji, the original living being. By him, even the great sages and the demigods are placed in illusion. You remember what happened to Brahma? He thought he knew everything. He hit all the covered boys in the cups. But he was in illusion. When he came back, if you see the picture in Srimad Bhagavatam, it's just so beautiful, cute little Krishna standing there and looking at him. Aha! So what did you do? And Brahmaji, with his forehead and all foreheads and all eight eyes crying, tears coming out from there. So he was bewildered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as one is bewildered by the illusory representations of water seen in fire or land seen on water, it's because, only because of him, do the material universe, temporarily manifest by the reactions of the three modes of nature, appear factual although they are unreal. I therefore meditate upon him, Lord Sri Krishna, who is eternally existent in the transcendental abode. Over here we can also realize one more thing. You see the scientists, they make the space shuttle, they make the rockets, they send all these different things all over the place. What do they realize? Brahman realization, impersonal realization. Because everything that is manifested here is all temporary, and they are cracking their heads and spending billions and billions of dollars to just go and see some sand somewhere else and come back again. This is their realization. So again you can see all the material science cannot equate to Srimad Bhagavatam. It's just not possible. So again he says, I meditate upon him, Lord Krishna, who is eternally existent in the transcendental abode, which is forever free from the illusory representations of the material world. I meditate upon him, for he is the absolute truth. So this is how one can attain the superior sublime association of the Personality of Godhead. This verse itself is a very timely blessing for all of us here. This particular verse today, it is actually an instruction in that sense. Because you see, Krishna, as you come, usually like what I said earlier, if you go to the temple, you'll be so happy to see the priest. And then you surpass him and then go to the deities. And then you'll be so happy to see them dressed so nicely. And then you bow down and then you stand up. And then whatever that you're going to speak from your mind is your prayer. Whatever your realization or your spiritual maturity is, all your material wantings are. So that's what you put forth in front of the deity. And then you go home with half a coconut and maybe one banana. Nowadays I heard they are serving raisins. Economic recession. So the thing is, that is what spiritual life is for all about, for all, most of the people. Right? That is their spiritual realization. End of the life, so many half coconuts. That is not even full. So what is the use? So the fact is, here when we come in contact with Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lord Granthraj, he actually starts speaking. You start listening. And then here he says that whatever you do, the purpose is to come to the point of understanding me and associating with me. So that instruction was given today, in today's class. This verse itself is timely blessing for all of us here. Why? To have appeared before us at the beginning of the year. So we can meditate. The Lord is showering. He is showering his timeless instructions upon us. And one thing about the Lord, he is very sincere. Right? He is so sincerely merciful. So sincerely merciful. I spoke to Venkatesa Bhattacharya in Ram Temple many years ago. And he told me one thing. Even if a drunkard goes in front of the Lord, drunkard, fully drunk, full booze, I don't know, he is a man, a tiger. So, goes and stumbles and falls in front of the deity of the Lord. And the Lord will take it in his heart that the living entity is actually bowing down to him, and the Lord will actually bless him. Can you imagine how sincerely merciful the Lord is and how sincerely deceitful the Jivatma is? Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. Sometimes, I know, some people will say, you know, like, they'll do a vow, this so-called vow thing, you know. They'll say, Lord, you please make my son pass the examination, or get my daughter married, or something, and then I'll break 100 coconuts for you. As if he needs coconuts in Vaikuntha. So, when the time comes, the child passes, or gets cured, or wedding, or something happens, then they'll fall short of their LC document. What they'll do? They'll go there and say, I promised 100, but now I only can afford 50. You don't mind, I think, whatever I give, you are merciful, you will accept. They'll go on this line. So even then, the Jivatma is so deceitful, even that it tries to cheat the Supreme Personality of God in himself, and thinks that he can get away with it. So how, you know, foolish the living entity is. And that is our pitiable state. So we have to firmly grasp the lotus feet of this particular verse today, and sincerely beg that the supreme instruction of this verse stays forever in our feeble, in our weak mind, and throughout our hopelessly diseased existence. Is it not? Every day we are going through so much of disease in the mind, whether it's thoughts which are not related to God, whether it's thought which is related to us, whether it's thought which is related to desires, it's all disease. And one important word, the disease, what is that actual disease? That actual disease is forgetfulness of the Lord. So the experiment is very simple. As of today, it's the beginning of the year, it is only the third day. As of today, go back home and we will actually experiment on ourselves. Throughout the 24 hours only, we are awake for maybe, what, 16 hours? Maybe around there, about there. Some of us sleep 16 hours, I think. So, it's the other way around. But the fact is, just experiment. How many minutes, not hours, how many minutes do we realize and remember the lotus feet of Bhagavan? And in what situations do we remember him? Krishna, please help! And then when it's over, luckily, it went away. Krishna also luckily went away. Lakka means Krishna Gosa. So, this is the realization of the living entity. So, experiment. So like that, we can slowly walk up the rungs of the ladder of Bhakti Yoga and then come to the point of saying, today, first thing morning when I wake up, I will remember the Lord. Right? Even if I, before I put my feet on the floor, from the bed, I will remember and pay obeisances for waking me up and to give me this consciousness of him and remembrance. Bhakti Vinod Thakur says, I can become a worm in a stool, but just give me your remembrance. I mean, we are not that in that category. It is just beyond our conception. The fact is, just to remember the Lord every day, in every second, in our workload, whatever we are doing, in our material situation, like that. Then we begin this year. And then maybe, like what I said earlier, the droplets of 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 bhakti might fall on us by the mercy of the Lord and by the mercy of his sweet devotees. Hare Krishna. So, any questions? Please direct to the second line of devotees. Any comments, corrections, whatsoever? Just walking along Vrindavan Dham itself is performance of devotional service on the highest platform. Amazing. Just walking along. I remember the very first time when I walked in Vrindavan and walk in Yamuna. And then I saw, there must be water here. What happened? And there were these, you know, parts, these special structures with the domes and all that, where actually it's supposed to be in line with the river. And I said, where is the water? And then there was one devotee, he said, you're walking on it. She has moved away a little further. And I was thinking, oh, how unfortunate. And then they said, this is the tree he jumped from. And I said, this is the tree, and I actually can see it. Can we realize it? And then when we were in a certain part, said, Mahaprabhu used to sit here and meditate and chant his rounds. So, wow. And I remember going to Mayapur and Jagannath temple. At that time it was not ISKCON. It was still, you know, handled by others. And my godbrother picked me to go there. And then he brought me to a tree and he said, under this tree is a Kalpavriksha tree. I said, really? Said, under this tree, Parvati came and she meditated on Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu appeared and put for her chandur. And then he bent down and he took a small piece of the wood that had fallen from the tree and gave it to me and said, this is Mahaprasad. So, like that, devotional service is just amazing. This is actually devotional service. Remembering Krishna, remembering his pastimes, remembering the place where he walked, talked, danced. Just like in Srimad Bhagavatam, I'm sorry, in Brahma Samhita, if you go to the last part of it, Shriya Kancha Kancha Parama Purusha Kalpatarago Bruma Bhumi Chinta Mani Gana Mayi Toyam Amritam Kada Ganam Natyam Gamanam Api Vamsi Priya Sati Chit Anandam Jodhi Param Api Tat Asvatyam Api Cha Sayatsa Shirabhir Shravati Suraviyas Chasumahan Nimi Sadakyova Vrajate Nahi Yatrapi Samayaha Bhate Sveta Jeevam Tam Aham Iham Golokam Ikiyam Vidantaste Santa Sitivirala Chara Katipai. I worship that transcendental seed known as Sveta Deepa, where as loving consorts, the Lakshmis, in their unalloyed spiritual essence, practice the amorous service of the Supreme Lord Krishna as their only lover. Where every tree is a transcendental purpose tree, where the soil is the purpose gem, all water is nectar, every word is a song, every day is a dance, the flute is a favorite attendant, a thousand is full of transcendental bliss, and the supreme spiritual entities are all enjoyable and tasty, where numberless milk cows always emit transcendental oceans of milk, where there is eternal existence of transcendental time, who is ever present and without past or future, and hence is not subject to the quality of passing away even for the space of half a moment. That realm is known as Goloka, only to a very few self-realized souls in this world. Imagine, if somebody goes on a holiday and comes back, I saw paradise, take a brick and throw at him. Because he hasn't seen paradise yet. That is their foolishness. So like that, to come to the point of understanding Krishna, then we have to actually practice Krishna consciousness, remember, chant, and most important, take association. Grantrat Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Ananta Kodi Vaishnavrinda ki, Nupai Go Primanandi.
Jai Sri Swasudas Adhikari Prabhu ji ki.